Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. Pastor Chuck is currently leading us on a verse-by-verse venture through the book of Ezra. And on today's edition of The Word for Today, we'll be continuing with the decree of Darius as we pick up in Ezra, chapter 5, verse 7. And now, here's Pastor Chuck Smith with today's lesson.
Unto Darius the king, all peace. Be it known unto the king that we went into the province of Judea, to the house of the great God, which is built with great stones. Now, an interesting thing, this word great stones in the Chaldean language is rolling stones. It has long been a mystery how in the world they were able to move such great stones that they used in building the wall and building the temple. In the wall, the western wall of the Temple Mount, there are stones that are 8 feet thick, 5 feet high, and up to 45 feet long, estimated to weigh over 100 tons. And the mystery is how in the world they ever lifted such stones into place on the wall, or how they ever moved them. And it's been a mystery for a long time. Here was suggested, perhaps, how they did it. And it is interesting, as they have been excavating in what is known as the Rabbi's Tunnel, they found a stone that was half rounded, and the other sides were squared off. And they've come to the conclusion that the ingenious way by which they got these stones from the quarry to the building site was that when they first quarried these stones, they quarried them round and they rolled them. Now, of course, you can understand the ease of rolling a stone. Trying to lift a stone like that or use pry bars and to scoot it, it would be almost an impossibility. But by, first of all, quarrying it as a round stone, it could be rolled into sight, and then they feel that at the site, they flattened off the one side, and then they rolled the stone into position so that the flat side came down, flat side met flat side. And then when in position, they then chipped it off and quarried it while it was in position. So here, as it says, great stone, the word great there is rolling. And so they said that they were using these rolling stones. It was built with the rolling stones, and the timber is laid in the walls. And this work is going on fast, and it is prospering in their hands. And so we asked the leaders, and we said to them, "Who commanded you to build this house? What are your names?" In order that we might certify to you and write the names of the men that are the leaders among them. And they answered us, saying, We are the servants of God, the God of heaven and earth. And we build the house that was builded these many years ago, which a great king of Israel built and set up. So they didn't tell us their names. They just said they were servants of the God of heaven and earth. And they were just rebuilding this temple that had once existed, built by a great king of Israel. But they told us that after our fathers had provoked the God of heaven unto wrath, he gave them into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, the Chaldean, who destroyed this house and carried away the people to Babylon. But in the first year of Cyrus, the king of Babylon, the same King Cyrus made a decree to build the house of God. So they're claiming that some guy by the name of Cyrus, and this is back in the year 536, and now we are some 16 years later, 520. And so they had come pretty far along in the building of the house. And they said, Cyrus, the king of Babylon. Now, Cyrus was called the king of Babylon, as was Darius, after the city of Babylon, the great city of Babylon, was conquered by Persia. He was also called the king of Babylon because he conquered Babylon. So don't let that throw you, Cyrus, the king of Babylon. He was the king of Persia, but having conquered Babylon, he also took the title king of Babylon. And other of the kings did that. You'll find that the Persian kings were often called the king of Babylon. The same King Cyrus made a decree to build this house of God. And the vessels also of gold and silver of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple that was in Jerusalem, brought them into the temple of Babylon. Those did Cyrus the king take out of the temple of Babylon, and they were delivered unto one whose name was Sheshbazzar, who he had made the governor. And his other name is Zerubbabel, and that's the name by which we know him. And it is easier than Sheshbazzar, so I'd suggest you use Zerubbabel. Many of them had two names. You've noticed we've said that Artaxerxes was Smerdis of secular history. You remember when Daniel was taken captive unto Babylon, that they gave him a Babylonian name, Belteshazzar. And his friends, Azariah and Hananiah, were given Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach. And so often you'll find two different names. So then came this Sheshbazzar, and he laid the foundation of the house of God, which is in Jerusalem. And since that time, even until now, they've been building it, and still they aren't finished. I mean, these guys have been going for 16 years. They're not through yet. Now, therefore, if it seems good to the king, search the libraries, the records, which are there at Babylon, and find out whether or not this is so. Find out if a decree was made by Cyrus the king to build this house of God at Jerusalem, and let the king send his pleasure to us concerning this matter. Now, these men again are suggesting, search the records. Let's find out if these guys are telling us the truth or not. We want to know. So Darius the king made a decree, and they searched in the house of the scrolls, or the books, where the treasures were laid up in Babylon. And there was found at Achmetha in the palace that is in the province of the Medes, a scroll, and therein was a record that was thus written. In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be built, the place where they offered the sacrifices. Let the foundations thereof be strongly laid. Let the height of it be 90 feet and the breadth of it 90 feet. And with three rows of great stones and a row of new timber, let the expenses be given out of the king's treasury. And also let the gold and silver vessels of the house of God, which Nebuchadnezzar took forth out of the temple, which is at Jerusalem, and brought to Babylon, let them be restored and brought again to the temple that is in Jerusalem, every one to his place, and to place them in the house of God. Now, therefore, Tatnai, governor beyond the river, Shethar-Boznai and your companions, which are beyond the river, be ye far from thence. Let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build this house of God in this place. Now, I love it how the Lord so often turns the tables. You remember with, of course, the story of Joseph and his brethren. Jealous of their younger brother, they decided to kill him. And then they opted to sell him as a slave to traders going to Egypt. And they sold their brother. Hard-hearted, they would not listen to his cries as he was carried off to Egypt, weeping and crying and asking them to have mercy. But they were so calloused and jealous of him that they did not respond to his cries. And later on, when God exalted Joseph in Egypt, and his brothers had to come down to live under the rule of this brother who they had despised and so mistreated, when their father Jacob died, they came trembling before Joseph, feeling that, hey, now that dad is dead, you know, he's going to just wipe us all out. He's going to get even with us now. You remember earlier with Jacob and Esau, Esau said, as soon as dad dies, I'm going to kill you, man. The reason why he wouldn't kill him while his dad was still alive is that he was afraid his dad would curse him for killing his brother. I don't want the curse of my father on me. So as soon as dad is dead, man, you've had it. You're finished. And so often they would wait until the death of the father to take it out on their brothers so that their father wouldn't curse them. They didn't want the curse of the father lying on them. And so when Jacob died, they thought, oh, man, we've had it now. Joseph's going to get even with us. He's going to wipe us out. And so they came trembling to Joseph, you know, to seek mercy, but they did not show mercy to Joseph earlier. But as they came to Joseph, he said unto them, now I know that what you did, you intended for evil. You had evil intents, but God meant it for good. God had a purpose that was greater than what you realized. And though your hearts were evil and you had evil intents, God has meant this whole thing for good, that he might preserve the family. And Joseph said, go and live with your families, and don't worry, I'm not out after blood. I'm not out to destroy you, because God has intended good out of this. And so many times, God has taken the evil intentions of man and turned them around for good. We're in a few weeks going to get to one of my favorite stories in the Bible, the story of Esther. And there is a classic example of how God took the evil intentions of Haman and turned the tables on the guy. And here, God does the same thing. These guys are thinking, boy, we're going to shut down this project. You see, the first letter that came back from Artaxerxes was to cease building the wall, but he made a mistake. He didn't say anything about the temple. So these guys ceased the wall, and they just concentrated on building the temple. So now they come back, and they start giving him a hard time on the temple. Who ordered you to do this, and what are your names? And so they sent their letter, expecting, of course, Darius to send back a letter, cease and desist, you know, and to stop them. But instead, the tables are turned, and listen what happened. I love the way God does things like this. Darius sent back the letter and said, let the work of this house of God alone. Let the governor of the Jews and the elders of the Jews build the house of God in his place. Moreover, beyond that, I make a decree. What you shall do to the elders of these Jews for the building of this house of God, that the king's goods, even the taxes that you collect there, take out for them the expenses and give it to these men that they not be hindered in their work. So the taxes that you're collecting, you know, make sure that they have enough money to just continue the work, that the work not be hindered. And that which they have need of, both of young bullocks and rams and lambs for burnt offerings of the God of heaven, the wheat, the salt, the wine, the oil, according to the appointment of the priests which are at Jerusalem, let it be given to them day by day without fail. Not only are you not to touch or hinder these guys, help them with the money that they need and with the things for sacrifice, that they may offer sacrifices of sweet savors unto the God of heaven, and that as they do, they pray for the life of the king and his sons. Have them pray for me and for my family. Also, I have made a decree that whosoever shall alter this word, let timber be pulled down from his house, and being set up, let him be hanged on the timbers. In other words, anybody tries to stop them, take down the timbers of his house, make a gallows and hang the guy. And let his house be made a dunghill for this. Now, it is interesting that the Jews to the present day sort of practice the destruction of the houses of those who create disturbances in the West Bank. If they come into your house and find dynamite or contraband, they just blow up the house. And this was the decree that was made clear back in the book of Ezra. And the God that hath caused his name to dwell there, may he destroy all kings and people that shall put their hand to alter and to destroy this house of God, which is at Jerusalem. I, Darius, made the decree, let it be done with speed. Man, how God turned the tables on these guys. And then Tatnai, the governor on this side of the river, and Shethar-Boznai and their companions, according to that which Darius the king had sent, so they did speedily. I mean, they were subject to this guy, and so they had to follow the orders. And the elders of the Jews built, and they prospered through the time of the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. And they built and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, the king of Persia. And this house was finished on the third day of the month of Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. And so it was finished in the month of March, just in time for the Passover. You know, it is interesting how that many times when you have a building project, you set your target date to complete it on, say, the holidays. We want to be in by Easter, or we want to be in by Christmas, you know, and that helps spur, you know, you have a target date. We want to be finished by this date. And so they no doubt had set, boy, next year, by the time Passover comes along, let's be through with it so we can actually have a big Passover, you know. We can celebrate at the Passover feast. So they finished it in the month of Adar, which is, of course, in our calendar, the month of March. In the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king, they sent the letter in the second year. They had been building for 6 years at that time. And so it means that they were about 20 years in the rebuilding of the temple. And the children of Israel, priests, the Levites, the rest of the children of the captivity, they kept the dedication of the house of God with joy. Dedication day, they're going to begin again. They offered at the dedication of this house of God 100 bullocks, 200 rams, 400 lambs, and for the sin offering for all of Israel, indicating again that there were members of all 12 tribes that had come back, they offered 12 he-goats according to the number of the tribes of Israel. And they set the priests in their divisions, the Levites in their courses for the service of God, which is at Jerusalem, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so the whole process of worship, again, was established in Jerusalem. Temple worship, it's restored. And the children of the captivity kept the Passover upon the 14th day of the first month. For the priests and the Levites were purified together. All of them were pure. That is, from a ceremonial sense, so that they could offer the sacrifices. And they killed the Passover for all the children of the captivity, for their brothers and the priests, and for themselves and the children of Israel, which were come again out of the captivity, and all as such had separated themselves unto them from the filthiness of the heathen of the land, to seek Jehovah God of Israel, did eat of the Passover. And they kept the feast of the unleavened bread for 7 days with joy, for the Lord had made them joyful and had turned the heart of the king of Assyria unto them to strengthen their hands in the work of the house of God, the God of Israel. And so the glorious conclusion to the building project with the dedication and the observing again of the Passover, the reestablishing of the worship and the priesthood, the courses, and the whole thing as was set up by David originally.
We'll return with more of our study of Ezra in our next lesson, as Pastor Chuck Smith continues with The Return of Ezra to Jerusalem. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's message, or perhaps you'd like to order a copy for that special friend or loved one, you can do so by simply contacting one of our customer service representatives, and they'd be more than happy to assist you with the ordering details. Simply call 1-800-272-WORD. And phone orders can be taken Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-9673. And for your added convenience, you can order online anytime when you go to thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse through the additional resources that include Bible studies, commentaries, CDs, DVDs, and so much more. Once again, that's The Word for Today online at thewordfortoday.org. And for those of you who still prefer to write, you can use our mailing address, which is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And be sure to include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck Smith continues his verse-by-verse study through the book of Ezra. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck Smith.
But may the Lord be with you, watch over and keep you in His love, strengthen you by His Spirit as we seek to do the Lord's work. And may the Lord turn against the enemy every ploy that he might institute against your walk. And though the enemy may intend it for evil, may the Lord turn it for good, that you might see the good hand of God upon your life, enabling you to be the man, to be the woman that God wants you to be, filled with His Spirit, walking in the Spirit, an instrument that God uses to bring His love and His grace to others through Jesus Christ.
Come and study the Bible with Pastor Chuck Smith as he teaches from Genesis through Revelation on a new, digitally remastered audio edition of Pastor Chuck's Bible commentary. That's 323 audio MP3 files of Pastor Chuck teaching through the entire Bible, all on an 8-gig reusable flash drive. Yeah. Now you can easily listen to Pastor Chuck's Bible commentaries when you insert this key into your computer's USB drive. Then you can transfer all of these audio Bible studies to a smartphone or any listening device to learn and study God's Word on the go. And not only that, you can reuse this flash drive that easily fits onto a key ring for even more mobility at a fraction of the cost. What a great way to study and learn God's Word. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 1-800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org.
This program has been sponsored by The Word for Today in Costa Mesa, California.